I got a microphone,
booming voice. All right, let's get your Bibles out. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 24. Now, is idolatry a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, it's a pretty bad thing. We don't want to spend our time worshiping these false gods. Seems ridiculous. Well, we talked about there's some false gods that we worship today. Might just not make a statue to them. But yet, I don't want you to think you shouldn't worship anything. A lot of times in Christianity, we focus on what you can't do. Can't do this, can't do that, can't worship this, can't worship that. We don't really spend a lot of time developing things you can do, or things you should do. And so I want to spend a few minutes talking to you about the topic of the positive, about choosing God. And really what we're going to talk about from Joshua chapter 24 is the most famous verse in this chapter. Who knows the most famous verse in Joshua 24? Might be at your house. What is it? As for me and for my house, we'll serve the Lord. Sing the song. We talk about it. That's exciting. You know, Joshua's like throwing down the gauntlet. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You guys do whatever you want to do. But there's more to this chapter, which I want to unpack for you. And I want us to study together from Joshua 24. I'm going to read most of the chapter for you in just a minute. But I want you to realize this. That you have to make a choice in your lives as kids of what you're going to do. You got to make a choice. If you're going to serve God and worship Him, you've got to choose to do that. Now listen to me. Your parents can't make you be a Christian. Your parents can drag you to church. Parents can force you to a youth forum. They can make you sit here. But they can't make you be a Christian. Joshua, I mean the most powerful warrior in the history of Israel. I mean, Moses was a good guy. Moses didn't lead him into the promised land. I mean, Joshua led these battles of conquest and victory. And here Joshua, at the end of his life, is saying, you know what, guys? I'm going to make you serve God. No. Joshua said the most crazy thing. I don't know what you guys are going to do. All I can tell you is what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose to serve God. He literally put it in the hands of all of Israel. You guys got to make a choice every day. You can be an Israelite. You can see all these great things. You can experience it, but you got to choose to do it. I want you to make a choice to serve God. And what we're going to do this afternoon for just a few minutes, I'm going to give you three reasons from the text as to why Joshua compelled Israel to choose God. And then we'll talk a little bit more after that. So let's grab our Bibles and read together. Verse 1, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. And called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers. And they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times, your fathers lived beyond the river. Namely, Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan. And I multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac, I gave Jacob and Esau. And to Esau, I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward, I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. You came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians. And brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land. And I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you. The Amorite and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Girgashite, the Hivite and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. And then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them, and you're eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. For if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, well, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which He did among all the peoples in whose land we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We will serve the Lord, for He's our God. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He's done good to you. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said to the people, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey His voice. All right, let's stop there. Man, that's kind of an intense reading, isn't it? I mean, Joshua just throws it down. He said, look, guys, you can do like everybody else has done, and you can worship these other gods, but I want you to follow God. Why does he want them to follow God? There's some things I want to share with you before we wrap up today. Number one, he compels them to follow God because God had chosen them. God had chosen them. Let me ask you a question. Why did God pick Abraham to be a mighty nation? Why did God pick Abraham to have all nations of the earth blessed through him? Abraham looked good, didn't he? He was big. He doesn't know that. Did God pick Abraham because he was big, strong, athlete? Why did God pick Abraham? He was faithful. Faithful. Why did God pick Abraham? No. Let me tell you why God chose Abraham. Because he wanted to. What did we learn in this text that's kind of unique? What did we learn about Abraham and Abraham's father? Abraham and his father were idol worshipers. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. All of a sudden, he's talking about this great grand history of Israel. And you know what he says? Man, Abraham was awesome, and God was just kind of forced to like Abraham because Abraham was so godly. No, who was Abraham? Abraham was an idol worshiper. Just like you. That's what we've been talking about. All the idols that we kind of surround ourselves with. We focus on ourselves and our materialism and our own desires and all this stuff. And they created things too, and they worshiped them. And he goes on to say to him, look, if you want to serve the gods your fathers served back on the other side of the river, you can do it. We fool ourselves into thinking that we are Christians because I'm a great person. God has chosen you. God has chosen you in spite of a number of things. Somebody read Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8 for me. I want you to appreciate why God chose Israel. This is important for you to learn. Who's my brave volunteer? All right, he's going for redemption. All right, tell me why God chose Israel. They were the biggest nation on earth, and God was like, I'm going to go with a champion. No, that's not what God did. No. God's like, you're going to beat up all these nations. I'm going to side with them. I got a friend. Look, I grew up in Alabama, and I grew up an Auburn fan. You had to kind of pick from birth. And there was a family member that moved into town, and he was like, I'm going to be an Alabama fan. I was like, why would you want to be an Alabama fan? He said, because they win. He's like, when you get to choose, you get to choose the winner. So, bandwagon fan, man, amen to that. Yeah, so, but that's what he wanted to be. Look, that's what we think, right? God is choosing Abraham because Abraham is the most faithful. Abraham is great. And God just kind of picked the best person. I want you to appreciate that God chose Israel because he loved them and wanted to do good to them. And that is exactly why God chose you. Are you here because you're the best young people on the planet? No. Now, you might have some redemption. I mean, you might have some good quality about you that, you know, really is good. And you might be raised right and say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But let me tell you why you're Christians. Because you see some need in yourself. That's why we become Christians. I see a failure in myself, and in spite of that, God chose me. All right, I want you to think about this. You were not born into the family of God. God uses the phrase adoption as sons. We won't take the time to read Ephesians chapter 1, but God chose us in Christ to be a part of His family. Do you know that? God didn't just look down and say, yeah, give me the best 10% of all young people. You guys are going to be Christians. Like, God came and died for literally the worst people in this world. He chose to give Himself for you. Somebody read Romans 5, 6-8. These are good verses that are worth us reading. We get another brave volunteer. This tells you the insight into how special it is to be chosen by God. Katie, you got it? You want to read it? I mean, these are three of the most beautiful verses you'll read. Who in here wants to die for somebody? I mean, I don't know. It seems like a nice thing to do, but it's pretty tough, right? I mean, if I said right now, who will die to save your brother? Well, you might die to save your brother, but who would die, let's say, to save somebody else's brother? Well, I don't know. How about this? Who would die to save somebody you never met? Who would die to save the worst human on the planet? Notice these verses. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Like, you're going to find a few people that will die for a righteous man. For a good man, maybe somebody could be dared to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you realize what Jesus did? Jesus chose us while we were the enemies of His. And so I ask you this question on this slide. What reaction should we have to someone that selected us? When someone picked you out of anything or anyone, undeserving, unworthy, and said, guess what? You've got a new car! Woo! We're going to get fired up and excited. And that's how Joshua opens this story by saying, listen, at the beginning, God picked y'all out of nothing. God took you and decided He wanted to do something with you. Now, we're out there choosing all these other gods, and it all starts with God choosing us. Isn't that special? Number two, he goes on to say, not only did God choose you, but at every turn, God has blessed you. God has blessed you. Now, what things did you read from the text that God did for them in the first passage of Joshua 24? What did you see? What did you see? It's just in the text, Joshua 24. Tons of answers. They're all free, easy to grab. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big, right? Totally oppressed by a mighty nation, the mightiest nation on earth at the time. And this is what they wanted to do. Yeah, we don't think we're going to work here anymore. Good luck. Do you want the Egyptian army just crushing you? You think you can rebel against the mightiest nation in the world? Can't do it. And yet what happened? I mean, think about this. One man out of nowhere shows up with a staff and says, hey, Pharaoh, can you let these few hundred thousand slaves go? And Pharaoh's like, I do not know your God, nor will I let your people go. Get out of my face. And then as the plagues happen one by one, this man that walked across the desert from Midian is leading hundreds of thousands of people out of Egypt with gifts and gold and jewels with their blessing. Like, please leave us away. Leave us alone. Insane what God did for them. Led them through Egypt with a mighty hand. What else did God do from the text? Yeah, I mean, that's miraculous stuff, right? He mentioned the Red Sea, and again, because the Red Sea is amazing, because all of a sudden your backs are against the wall, Egypt changes their mind, they're going to kill you. Boom, God's right there, made you walk on dry land, caused the sea to cover up the other people. And what did they just experience in Joshua? What's the last thing that he says God has done for them? Conquest. And what had God given them? It's so cool. Think about this. Think about going home today and God giving you a house you didn't buy, a car you didn't purchase or lease, food that you didn't go out and earn and grow. And God's like, oh, this can be yours. You're like, this is a trick or something, right? This is God. God, they're literally eating from olive groves that they planted none of. They walked into a fully furnished existence out of slavery. Look, and what has God done for us? I'll just throw these points up here. Why should you choose God? Before He lays down the gauntlet and says, choose this day whom you will serve, why does He say you should choose God? Because God has blessed you. Let me challenge you to the same understanding that you are here today and blessed and full and healthy and fine because of God. In Him we live and move and have our being. I mean, we exist by His very will, the breath that we breathe. And God allows us to come to Him in prayer. We can look at all these verses. We don't have to for time's sake. But I mean, Jesus says just some of the strongest statements. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. I mean, Peter talks about not only that, we've got in the future this great promise of this imperishable, incorruptible future home with God that's never going to fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And if you just ask God for something, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Like you can get what you need from God by asking Him. Can you imagine a being with that kind of power that would do that? Could you? Who knows who Elon Musk is today? Everybody knows who that is. Who is he? Yeah, Tesla. What else? The richest man in the world. Yeah, sends people to space, all this stuff. Could you imagine if Elon Musk said, you know what? I choose you, and I'm going to bless you with everything that you ever need in this life. And you pick up the phone and you call me and you just let me know what you need and I'm going to take care of it. You would think, what in the world? This is crazy. And you would do it. You'd be the biggest Elon fan in the world. God has done that for you. God is listening to you. God has blessed you and taken care of you, as is evidenced today. And God has promised to do more, even further above and beyond that which we ask or think. God is going to do those things. And before Joshua asked him to choose, this is what he said. God has blessed you. And third, the last reason I'll give you for why he says you should take this choice pretty serious, God can also punish you. And this is the not so nice section of the talk, but it's important. What does he say in verse 20? Somebody read that again for us. All right. I want to make sure everybody heard that. He used the words consume you. I mean, that's pretty strong language. But this is what the people say. The people say after the first two points, the people are like, yes, we will serve God. Sounds like a great idea. And he says, I want to make sure you get it. You guys got to be careful with your throwing around, yes, we will serve Him, because He's a very jealous God. And if you go home after saying you're going to serve Him and you go back to the idol of laziness and you go back to the idol of your experiences or your selfishness and you go worship yourself, let me tell you what God's going to do to you. The same God that had all that power invested in your protection and care and blessings is going to turn that power around for your destruction. Now, that's kind of intense, right? But this is the reality. Somebody read Hebrews 10:31 for me. Get it, Zeke? Let's read it. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I mean, we don't usually have that one as a bookmark that we put in our Bibles, right? We like all the nice, happy verses of, you know, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But what if you had a bookmark that said, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God? Somebody read Hebrews 12, 28-29 for me. Yes, sir, read it. Hear that last part again.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Look, I don't think any of us can appreciate what being in a consuming fire would be like. But I've had enough fires around campsites and in my home that I can tell you this. I don't want to be in the fire. Because what happens to things that are in the fire? They're gone. And they're burnt up to a crisp. I mean, you don't even have to tell a kid to get away from the fire. Like, it is a natural instinct. Yeah. I mean, anything will burn in that. And God describes Himself as this consuming fire. And why I want you to choose God is, look, these fake gods that we talked about, that Dustin mentioned last night, that are nothing, they can do nothing. Guess what a fake God can't do? A fake God can't punish you. A fake God can't do good for you, but also can't do bad for you. So there's really no downside to serve Baal, right? He's not going to turn on you and consume you. Here's the thing about God. You don't choose God. He's still God. You don't have to answer to God. God's not going away. Just because you change your mind and you go serve something else, God still has the authority and the power to enforce all this stuff. And so while Joshua says, look, it's still up to you to choose God, you're going to have to make that choice. Because God has the power to turn around and undo all these good things that He said. Let me just say something about point number two. That doesn't mean God wants us to be afraid of Him. Like, God still wants us to be able to draw boldly toward the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Like, God does not want us to be terrified of Him. But there is a healthy fear that we refer to as reverence that God demands. You can't just come to church on Sunday and say, yeah, I'm going to serve God and sing songs of praise, like, I surrender all to Jesus, and then go home and not think about Jesus. Like, that kind of hypocrisy, God hates. And God's like, you're not worshiping me. You can't serve two gods. It's either me or them. And it's them. And so we need that reverence and that fear of God that says, oh yeah, this is real. And a real God can turn on me and punish me. And here's what I want you to think as we transition toward the last half of things. You know, you have to make this choice every day. We read in our class from 1 Kings chapter 18, And I want you to remember this verse that Elijah said to the people. How long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow Him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And these people, they didn't say a word to him. All right, I want you to appreciate this. There's only one thing that matters, finding out what God is real and what God is not. And whatever God you pick, you need to serve them. And if it's real, then great. But if it's not real, then you're going to be like these yahoos that were dancing around cutting themselves like, please help us, Baal, and nothing happened. And the real God throughout human history has shown himself time and again through miracles, seen and witnessed openly by people, that he is the real God. That's why Peter fell down in the boat with Jesus and said, you know, depart from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man. Like, you were the Christ, the Son of God. People came to believe God is real, Jehovah, the God of the Bible, and you've got to serve him. So I ask you to choose every day from this day forward who you are going to serve. And who are you going to serve? Well, thanks, Amelia. I need my own kid to say something. Who are you going to serve? God. Now let me talk for a minute about how you're going to serve God. All right, because that's what the people did. Like, Joshua took their commitment, took their vow, and said, all right, you're going to do it. How many of you play video games? Raise your hand. How many of you play games where you level up your character? You get stronger, better, faster, bigger? Yeah, it's pretty cool, right? Now, when you level up your character, can you level up every attribute all the way at the same time? No, that's not generally how it works, right? You're going to have to invest certain points in certain skills. And as people, this is the very same thing. Like, you cannot invest your time into everything. You're not going to be the most worldly person and still be the most godly person. It's not going to work that way. Every day, you're going to choose what character traits and qualities you're going to be spending your time on and investing your energy into. And from the world's perspective, let me put these five up here. I mean, from the world's perspective, people invest a lot of time in looks. Look, I'm not knocking girls or anything. Some of the guys take a little bit too long to get dressed too. But a lot of people, you know, they want to make sure they look good, right? And how do we spend time and energy on that aspect of ourselves? What do? We spend money on clothes, right? We buy things. We worry about those things. We spend time with fixing ourselves or, you know, blemishes or our face, or we're doing our hair. We're spending money on shoes. Like, we got all this stuff that we invest in because, to me, this is very important that people see me as an attractive young woman or man, whoever you are. And that's what a lot of the world spends their time on. And they will spend money and emphasis on this. How about, you know, being funny? Oh, yeah, we love joking around and we spend time on this. And I always want to be the guy that everybody loves to be around. Or maybe, guys, how much time do you spend being athletic and working out and spending your time on this and getting faster and bigger and stronger? Or maybe you want to be more popular, or maybe you want to learn more in school and you want to be the smartest person and you invest all that stuff. Guess what? Those are all little gods of ourselves that are the opposite of the things that God wants you to be choosing every day. Like, if you go home and tell me you're going to choose to serve God and then you go do this, like, you're not being spiritual in the least. What I want you to focus on is every day working on the things God wants you to work on. Maybe it's being more loving to your family. I mean, if I had a show of hands, how many of you have problems with your family? Brother, sister, parents, annoyances? Everybody should raise their hand, man. Come on, what y'all talking about? Come on, right? Could your parents stand to be a little more loving to you? Probably. Could you stand to be a little more loving to them? That's straight from Jesus. Like, God wants you to grow your faith. We get our faith from studying the Bible. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And for many of you, you don't even know where your Bible is. How are you going to serve God if you don't know where your Bible is? Or you never read your Bible or open your Bible? Well, you got your Bible in your lap, and I'm proud of you. But again, when it comes time for church on Sundays, a lot of kids, and I see it from the pulpit. I'm not blind. I'm looking straight at you. No Bibles, no phones, no nothing, right? I mean, come on. Well, what are we doing as students of God? We need to work on all these things that are hard. My patience, my attitude with other people, the depth of my belief, my service to my fellow community. These are the things I need to be leveling up in my life. And so I want you to be thinking about how you spend your time. And if you say you serve God, what are you doing? I want to leave you with three things that he said that will help us appreciate what it means to choose God. Once the people said to him, no, but we will serve the Lord our God. Notice what Joshua said in verse 23. He said, number one, now therefore put away the foreign gods which are in your midst. All right, well, if you're going to serve God, there's an easy way to do it. You're going to have to get all the other stuff out of the way. Now, what does that mean for us in this life? Does anybody have idols in their home? You got a little statues you need to go get rid of? Okay, good. What does it mean you're going to have to get rid of then? What are you getting rid of? How do we put away the foreign gods from among ourselves? What do you think? Do what?
Yeah.
I mean, the things that we can't wait to go home and worship. The things you may even be thinking about right now. Can't wait till he's done talking so I can go play. Right? I mean, that's just constantly what I'm riddled with is the desire and affection for other things. And the only way to get service to God pure like God wants it, you got to get rid of the other stuff. And so for many of us, our phones are a distraction. Our games are a distraction. We have no self-discipline or control, which we talked about. And so bottom line is, we're going to go home to idolatry all around us and continue to try to serve God. Man, that's tough stuff. And when every minute of our life is spent in entertainment and sports and hobbies and goofing off, I mean, our relationship to God is just nothing because we're surrounded by these foreign gods. Number two, he tells them, and incline your heart to the Lord. What do you think this means? To incline your heart to the Lord. This is hard. This gets to the root of it. What do you think it means? I'll tell you if you don't have a guess. Yeah. I mean, you got to love God. I mean, you got to want to do it. Right? It starts from here. Service to God is not just, hey, I did this. I took the Lord's Supper. I showed up to church. I did my Bible lesson. What more does God ask from me? And that's not the mentality. When your heart is in something, you think about it. You meditate on it. You want to do it. Like, that's how it is, right? When we're just in love with something, whether a person or an item, it's all consuming. And God wants that first place in our heart. Like, he wants to know we're thinking about him and we're diligently wondering what I can do to serve him. I'm meditating on his word. I'm thinking about those things. I want to know more about God. Who's this everlasting being that never began and never ends? And why does he care about me? And when that is dominating your heart and your thoughts, serving God's going to be a lot easier. And the very last thing he says, actually the people say it in response to all of this. After Joshua gives them these two commands, they say in verse 24, we will serve the Lord our God and we will obey his voice. This is what it means to choose God. It means that his will is going to dominate yours. And so every day of your life, you need to ask yourself, what does God want from me? What does God ask me to do? What has God told me to do? And you will do it. If your life is spent listening to what God wants on Sunday and doing what you want on Monday, you are not serving God. You're living this half and half life that eventually will just break you in two, and you're going to hate Christianity and be a derelict from your entire family, or you're going to be tired of living this hypocritical life and you're going to give yourself to God. But you cannot serve the world and God. And we try to do it in the church. We want to have everything the world has and everything with Christ too, and it's not going to happen. You got to put God first and obey everything he says. And that's why we have these lessons. And if you go to Embry Hills and Bill comes up here and he's teaching to you or Phil and they're talking about, hey, I think God wants us to do this. And I think God wants us to do that. Why does that matter? Because that shows my love for God. It shows my service to him. This is what it means when you've chosen God. If God says it, I'm going to do it. And really what I want you to think about as we close, I mean, what are we really saying when we choose God? Well, we're really choosing Jesus. And the life that he lived, the example that he left us, and the thing that he asked us to do is take up our cross daily and follow him. That's why I appreciate you guys that are here. Because you know what people do on Saturday? It's the one day you can do whatever you want. And I appreciate you guys have made time to come and be here, think about these things and talk about it. Because choosing God is the most important thing you can ever do. And when you choose God and choose Jesus, he says, if you confess me, I'll confess you before the angels in heaven. Can you imagine that? Jesus saying your name? Yeah, I know this guy. I know her. I mean, that's going to be a wonderful moment. But it starts now. Are you going to choose this day whom you're going to serve? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you make that commitment today, God's going to take care of you. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for your time. You want to close with a prayer, a thought? Let's pray together. Our great God and Father in heaven, thanks for revealing these things to us. Thanks for your servant Joshua, who demonstrated in a very real way, it didn't matter what anybody else was going to do, he's going to choose you. Help us to be bold enough to follow in that example, in spite of what anybody else may do, to reflect on your goodness, your choosing us, to think through the benefits of that relationship with you, to revere you and the punishment that you will mete out in judgment. And Father, help us to put these distractions away from us. Help us to meditate on you and to incline our hearts to you. Help us to be obedient. We're weak, Father. Spirit is willing sometimes, but man, the world is tough. Just guide these young people. Lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from evil. We know you began a work in them, and we just know that you'll finish it too, Father, and we're grateful for them today. Just guard them and give them wisdom and strength and courage to do what's right. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.